This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sabres were the number one power play in the league going into today's game. They've converted on 8 of their 19 power plays so far this season, 49%. 3 o'clock faceoff. You'll hear it right here on our flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. Sabres and the Dallas Stars coming up in downtown Buffalo. In Major League Baseball, the playoff focus is on the National League Division Series now. It is Game 3 with the Washington Nationals home against St. Louis. That's at 7:30 tonight. Nats lead that series 2-0. This is the first game in Washington tonight. As we said, 7:30, the first pitch. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, hour number 2 of what's going to be just a 2-hour show today. If you're watching on MSG, we'll cut out at the bottom of this hour as they get set for Sabres hockey. If you're listening on the radio, we'll cut out at 2 o'clock as they get set for Sabres hockey. Are you going to the game, Mr. Tasker?
Do you have tickets? I am not. I am not.
After all that in the first hour, have you been outlawed from the arena?
Maybe a two-game suspension.
Two-game suspension for language.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about football. We're going to talk with our next guest. He is senior editor at Sports Illustrated, co-host of the MMQB NFL podcast, the author of the Football Fanbook, Gary Gramling, on the line with us. Hello, Gary. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
The NFL got by without the Buffalo Bills, huh? I guess we're surprised to hear that.
Just barely.
What do you make of the Bills in their 4-1 start and the fact that they're the second best record in the conference right now? What should we take from that?
I mean, look, in short, it is certainly the best team they've had in the Sean McDermott era here, which is I think they're so much better than they were in 2017. I think they're equipped to play from behind if they have to play from behind. But I mean, this defense is dominant, and it's not just, Ed Oliver and Trent Murphy. That's all well and good. Jordan Phillips, I mean, they got a real find in Jordan Phillips here in the middle of that line. They're dominant. You see what Tremaine Edmonds is becoming, and there's no reason they shouldn't be talking playoffs at this point.
Yeah, week 5-6 into the season. What surprises you about this Bills team? We knew they would have a solid defense. We knew that they would be improved offensively with all the free agent moves on there with the skill positions and the offensive line. But is there any surprises thus far?
Not necessarily. I thought the offensive line might take a year to really come together. And I'm not saying it's a dominant unit at this point, but it's a more than good enough unit. And really, you look around the league right now, whether it's the Chargers last night or what's going on in Cleveland, if you have good enough up front, you can have a functional offense, which is what they have right now. You hope Josh Allen makes some strides in the more traditional parts of quarterbacking. But you just look around the AFC and it's like, even if they slip, who's going to take this from them?
The Bills, people want to poke holes sometimes, and it'd be easy to poke holes at the Buffalo offense and their lack of production, right? Squeaking by, taking advantage of that great defense. Can you get to the playoffs and maybe advance in the playoffs, averaging 15, 16 points per game like the Bills do?
There's really no reason that they can't. I think it's an offense that I know they didn't come through against New England. Patriots have shut down everyone this year. They came from behind against the Jets. It's a game they trailed by 2 possessions in the second half. I think they're capable of putting up points if they have to put up points. Are they going to do a Patrick Mahomes type Chiefs thing? No, they're probably not going to put up 40 points most weeks. But if this team needs to put up 27, 30 points in a week, I think they're capable of doing it.
I'd like to see it.
That'd be a welcome change, no question. What about their running game? They've got the oldest guy in the league, and then they've got one of the youngest a rookie in Devin Singletary. But Frank Gore, in Singletary's absence his last few weeks, I think has been really astonishing what he's been able to do.
Oh, I mean, the last 5 years, everyone's been writing that guy off for quite a while at this point. I love Devin Singletary. I do think he's a special, might be overstating it, but I think he is a quality lead back as soon as the second half of the season. So should Frank Gore show his age at some point, they have a guy to fall back on. But, I mean, Frank Gore, he's going to, at this point, I guess he's just going to play forever.
Yeah, he might. Is he a Hall of Famer to you?
Yeah, I'm kind of a softie, though. I guess I'd listen to someone arguing otherwise that Is he accumulating numbers a little more than anything else? You can make the argument. I think he's in, though, especially in this day and age where everyone's writing off quarterbacks at age – or, excuse me, running backs at age 30. I think just the longevity is something to be, you know, is sort of admired and held up as something that's special in this era.
Hey, Gary, do you think the Bills have enough offensive weaponry – I'm talking about receivers here and tight ends – to be serious contenders? You know, it has not demonstrated that to be the case through five games anyway, but maybe there's more to come. Maybe Duke Williams is the guy.
No, I mean, it's not perfect. You got a big play threat in John Brown. You got Cole Beasley doing the underneath stuff. They need to get better. That's something to address in the offseason, you would hope. But, again, I think it's enough. And I think Josh Allen, for all of his sort of roller coaster ride performances here, I think if you need points in the second half of a game, Josh Allen's a guy you can expect him from. He might melt down, but at least it's the possibility of putting up. I'm not sure you quite had that with Tyrod Taylor a couple of years ago.
That's right. Yeah, what do you think about his weapons outside with Josh Allen, with wide receivers? John Brown, Cole Beasley, are they too specific? You know, do they have too specific of skill sets to be rangy enough to force defenses to respect them all over the field?
I mean, Brown is the right skill set for Josh Allen. I mean, you want to get the downfield passing game going. John Brown's a guy that fits nicely. We'll see what happens with Cole Beasley going forward. I love Cole Beasley. I love his ability to uncover underneath. That's something that Josh Allen, going back to Wyoming, he never really had a guy like that. We'll see. You know, chemistry gets better as the year goes on. It's just sometimes it's nice to have a guy who gets open underneath, sort of that security blanket guy that they've just lacked. It's not an ideal group. You wish it was a little bit better. But like I said, I think this offense is good enough, especially with what you have defensively and with what you have going on in the AFC right now.
Gary, we knew the defense was good enough and maybe got better. And you touched on it a minute ago. The Bills go into the Tennessee game looking for more pass rush, more sacks, and they get three from a guy who comes off the bench to do it. It was kind of an amazing development in the Tennessee game a couple of Sundays ago to get that from Jordan Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, they got a real find in him. And he's a guy who flashed in Miami. And when the Dolphins cut ties with him, you kind of said, well, I guess it's just never going to come together. I mean, if the Dolphins are giving up on him, what do you really have here? But, I mean, he's been outstanding. And you figure Ed Oliver is going to get better as the year goes on. They've got something up front. They have something very similar to what you had in the old Kwon Short, Star, Lotulelei days in Carolina when they were really dominating with that front four. I think you're kind of on the verge of that with this Buffalo front right now.
Well, in this early stage of the season, first third of the season or thereabouts, the Bills have proven themselves to be a tough team to beat. And before we go massively big picture, let's start with the AFC East. They're in there still with the Patriots, who are undefeated. But then the Jets and the Dolphins. Jets looked a little bit better yesterday. The Dolphins still struggling to win. What about this division and how it has benefited the Patriots for so long, and now it seems maybe it'll benefit the Bills to some extent as well?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, look, I really thought the Jets were a playoff contender coming into the year. And quite frankly, I thought they might have been had Sam Darnold not gone down and they just didn't have the depth at quarterback, as most teams don't. They'll be better going forward. Bills have already gone there and won. So they'll get them in their building one more time, unless I'm forgetting something. They still have Miami on the schedule twice. Yep. I mean, the wins are there. They should rack them up. You know, they're probably going to lose at Foxborough. That's fine. But they... There are more than enough wins left on this schedule for this team.
On the line with Gary Gramling, Sports Illustrated senior editor, talking about the NFL. Let's talk about yesterday, week six, I guess, the entire week six. And the Dolphins' close call against Washington. You had a funny post today about breaking down week six, and you said Brian Flores did a favor to the general public by going for two, sparing us any more of that game, huh?
Yeah, that's I don't know. I really, really, really take offense is putting it too strongly, because I'm just a guy who lives up here in Connecticut, and it doesn't really matter what the Miami Dolphins do with their business. But I really dislike what they're doing with that team. I hate this whole approach. I don't think it's really something. Maybe it works long term, but I don't think it's necessary in the NFL. The way that the parity is built in, and the way that there's really just not that much of a there's not that much different talent wise from team to team. It bothers me a lot. I will pick on the Dolphins all year and probably all next year too.
Where do you see the bottom?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this kind of has to be it. I hope this is it. It's such a bad product. And I hate to worry about, you know, what are the are they going to sell enough tickets? Are people going to tune into the games? That doesn't really affect our lives. But it is horrible to watch. It's a waste of a game every week. And I guess this one was relatively good just because the Redskins have issues of their own. And when the Bengals come to town in December, maybe we'll pay attention to that one. But this is not an NFL team, and they're running them out there, and they're just building this roster in the most cynical way imaginable.
Well, they are kind of living down to the expectations, though, at the beginning of the year. And one team that had maybe the biggest expectations of the whole league is Cleveland Browns. They came up short again yesterday against the Seahawks. How is that going to play out?
Oh, it's flawed. And look, they can't do anything about the offensive line right now. I wish they'd put in some more quick strike stuff. If Freddie Kitchens has his system and that's what they're playing. And you're seeing Baker Mayfield regress. Yesterday was probably not rock bottom for him. I think we've seen him play worse this year, but his accuracy's off, and just the habit. He has this horrible habit now of just drifting straight back and to the right because he's even if there's not pressure, he's feeling pressure. This is sort of a danger zone for Baker Mayfield's career at this point. He's got some stuff that he's got to correct, and I don't know if it happens this year because that line is just not getting any better.
Hey, can I take you back to the Dolphins just for one second, Gary? Because I saw some quotes today from a guy who you would think would be considered at least a partial building block for the future, Bobby McCain, defensive back, fifth-round pick a couple of years ago, just talking about how livid he was about another loss and how they're playing and what's going on. And I think that might be the danger that you get into when you approach it, let's face it, tanking like the Dolphins do. Mm-hmm. You lose your young guys that you'd like to keep around and build on. It's kind of a corrosive negative influence on the entire team, guys that are here this year and guys that may be in your plans down the road a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, look, the players play, the coaches coach. They are not tanking. The front office is who's tanking here. Our Jenny Brentes had done a great piece. She sort of talked to some folks around the league who kind of said the guys who have to suffer through this, and there's more injury risk when you're out there with guys who are not NFL caliber players. It creates all sorts of bad habits with your young guys.
Yeah.
These guys won't be around in all likelihood to enjoy the sort of the other end of this, which obviously the Dolphins are hoping is a championship caliber roster. I'm very skeptical of that, but if they get there, the guys there in 2019, the guys here right now, most of them won't be here.
Brian Flores said after the game yesterday he will go back to Josh Rosen when they come here to play Buffalo on Sunday. Is that the right move to make? What do you think?
I don't know what Josh Rosen thinks about that. I think he's had about enough of NFL football between Arizona and now Miami. But I don't know. I mean, I know they want to put Rosen out there, and it's sort of that see what you got. And also, I think in their case, maybe they're trying to build up some trade value for him because they're going to try and accrue more picks. Fitzpatrick is the better option right now, and not a much better option, but again, if they haven't lost the locker room yet, I don't know if this is going to cost them the locker room.
Well, before he was benched, Rosen had 15 completions in the game for only 85 yards. So, it was a rough outing on all phases of that game.
It was brutal. It was the NFL's answer to Rutgers in that one.
Yeah.
Hey, you touched on the Jets too, and I don't want to just focus on these also-rans in the AFC East, but did they regain enough of their footing to maybe make a late charge here now that they've got their quarterback back? Do you think they'll come alive? That defense is still pretty solid for the Jets.
It is. And look, I think ultimately they're just in too deep a hole. The opportunity is there, I guess, because as we said, the AFC is just down throughout. I think it's a little too late for them to get going. I think that, look, I think Adam Gase is a good coach. I think the Gase-Darnold marriage will work and will be successful. And I think, you mentioned the defense, Murph. They're still without C.J. Mosley at this point. I mean, he was supposed to be sort of the nerve center of this defense. He'll be back maybe next week, and we'll sort of see what this Jets team was supposed to be. But I think you did get a taste of it, at least the offensive side of the ball, on Sunday.
Why has the defense struggled with for the Jets? Is it strictly C.J. Mosley?
I think it's a lot of C.J. Mosley. Look, Avery Williamson is out for the season too. I look back at that Cleveland game, the Monday night game that they lost, and the number of just miscommunications on the back end, or just flat out. I mean, there are blown coverages, and then there are coverages that have clearly been blown before the snap, where they, you know, Odell Beckham had that long touchdown run, just no one covered him. That's probably not by design. You probably do want to cover Odell Beckham with at least one player. I think that just comes down to communication issues. I'm sure they got worn out as well. I mean, Luke Falk was out there for 20 minutes with that offense every game, and that takes a bit of a toll on your defense as well.
Hey, Gary, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on what was my number one takeaway on the bye weekend, and that's how far down the hole the NFL has gone with its officiating, both in terms of replay challenges on pass interference and just overall general effectiveness of officiating. They're really in a bad spot right now, and I think I didn't see any ratings for yesterday, but it's got to affect the people's enjoyment of the game when all you watch are flags being thrown.
It's tough to watch. And I got a 4-year-old who watches the games with me, and all he yells out is when he sees the yellow flag, little Chiron come up, he just yells, "Dad, flag, flag." I was like, yeah, I know, you can stop saying it. You can tell me when there's not a flag. That'd be nice. But it's, I don't know. It's not coming up soon, so I hate to even suggest it, but I wish they would just sort of take the coaches' challenge out of it. The coaches should not have a role in officiating the game. They have enough going on running their teams. I wish they would sort of go to sort of an automatic review system, a sky ref, whatever you want to call it, and just utilize that, whether it's one official or a three official panel, and just sort of embrace the technology that we all get to use at home watching on TV.
Right.
Do we need replay? You sure we need it? I'm beginning to think we
can.
Don't.
You go back to the Stone Ages and without replay?
I know. The only reason I say you need replay is because we get replay as viewers, and we're all going to lose our minds when we watch these plays. I think you just need replay for the Saints Rams type thing, the blatant blown calls that you can immediately recognize and fix. And look, football is a sport. There is a 15 to 40 second delay between every play. I think replay fits in with this one more than basketball, but they got to figure out the way to do it.
It's been my assertion that the replay review process is only as good as the people at the top of it. Do you think they're getting mixed signals from New York?
It's been weird. And this pass interference replay, it's going away. It's just not working this year. It's been incredibly inconsistent. I don't know. New York was supposed to be sort of the what was going to give it consistency, and especially with that rule, you just haven't seen it. I don't know. The pass interference stuff, I don't think there's a good way to do it.
I don't either. Gary, thanks for this. We'll talk again. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary Gramling, senior editor, Sports Illustrated, co-host of the MMQB NFL podcast, author of the Football Fan Book. Is it really Stone Age to get rid of replay? Really?
I was exaggerating to make a point. It's a rhetorical tool that I just pulled out for you.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean,
I know I'm right.
That. If they, if you
replay
get,
makes it worse.
You get quality guys like Dean worse. Blandino in the booth of every NFL stadium and let them officiate the game. And then once in a while he chimes in and says, hey, no, you got to go back. This is egregious. You got to go back and do that. That's fine. Then nobody has to review anything. He just watches the game, watches the replays, and chimes in when he's needed. That's it. No challenges, no reviews, no nothing.
Replay makes it worse. It doesn't answer all the questions, and I've said this since.
That's right.
It creates as many problems as it solves, and we're seeing it now.
It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It's a rabbit hole, and we're lost in it.
And
right
I think
now.
It has undermined, I'm not going to say the confidence, but it's undermined the effectiveness of current officials who know that they're being watched and being second-guessed from up above. And I think they're kind of, I don't know what to call here. I'm going to let the replay decide it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call too much, knowing they can't be you know, it'll stand as a good call.
Hey, if you're watching on the MSG feed, we're going away. Sabres hockey coming up in just about an hour, so stick around for that. If you're listening on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR, we got a little more time left in the show, so come on back for that. We got a lot more to talk about. The Bills, the rest of the NFL, maybe a little more replay talk as well. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close. Welcome back. One Bills Live from our Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, radio only now. We've sent along the MSG group to...
Sabres pregame.
Well, I don't know. They're going to something there.
Something over there.
They probably have Fran Healy doing interviews with old Yankees or something. For a while. You know what I'm talking about. Happy to be on the radio with you until 2, and at the top of this hour, 2 o'clock, we will turn it over to Sabres pregame on the radio side. In the meantime, we're here in our studio. We have stripped down, Steve and I, to radio wear. We've turned the lights down. Sort of a different mood. I'm having trouble getting used to this.
All right.
No bright lights shining on us.
Yeah.
Our Twitter question today, not a poll, but a question. So, and it's basically, where are you with the Bills right now, right? Bills with 5 games in, 4-1 record, looks pretty good, 11 games left. Only 2 teams with winning records remaining on their schedule. That's incredible to me, by the way. That is incredible. 11 games left, only the
Ravens.
You
never see that.
No. That'll change, by the way, right? And a couple of 3-3 teams.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's incredible to look at those 11 games and say only 2 winning teams. So a week off from Bills football, reflecting back, we want you to predict the final record for the team. When the season's over, what's the record going to be? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. We got the tweet sheet here, brought to you by Corgan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills, from Tiffany. Tiffany tweets in this: with the defense playing at such an elite level, and if the offense can limit turnovers, they have a good chance to win 7 of the next 11. The schedule favors the Bills. They need to sweep the next 3 opponents at home, setting the tone for the rest of the season. Very good points. A sweep of the remaining or the next 3 games at home, not out of the question, Steve. There's a 1-win team there now, Washington. There's a winless team, Miami. And there's a 3-3 Philadelphia Eagles team. Those are 3 winnable games at home. I didn't watch much of the Vikings-Eagles yesterday, but I watched some of the highlights, and the Eagles are kind of messy right now. They're not in a good spot.
I was surprised a little bit. Vikings had been a little bit of turmoil going on with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Kirk Cousins, a little bit at odds. Their offense wasn't clicking, and they come. And I thought the Eagles would be able to win that game, and to have them not win against a team that seemed to have some turmoil going on, that's a tough – that's a bad loss to me. That's a bad loss. So all of a sudden, the Eagles changes complexions a little bit. They go from a winning team to a 500 team. And also, let's see, the Eagles this next week have on their schedule, the Eagles play – where am I looking at? Where are the Eagles? They play at Dallas. So 3-3 Eagles at 3-3 Cowboys this week. It'll be interesting to see how the Eagles fare. Those are 2 teams that are, you know, have stumbled. Eagles will be on the road this week in Dallas, and then in Buffalo the next week after that. That's interesting, because that's the game of the 3 with 1 win Washington, 0 win Dolphins, and then Philly sandwiched between. That's the game that you worry about. And now all of a sudden, not so much.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you'll worry about them all, and I'm sure by Sunday I'll start thinking of how the Bills might lose to the Dolphins.
We'll have a pile of angst.
It's all about angst. Week-to-week angst.
The Dolphins beat the Patriots last year in their Super Bowl championship season. That miracle in Miami thing. I mean, to be that close and to have it work out for you, hey, it happens once in a while.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, they're not going to get any give up. Those guys are going to come out and play hard. They pushed Washington to the brink. They were 1 play away from winning that game. On a
very
couple of occasions.
The sound I saw coming out of their locker room yesterday, the Dolphins are extremely frustrated. Now, that only amounts to so much if you don't have the right players. And I'll say this, too, about the Dolphins-Washington game. There were wide-open receivers for Washington in that game, like wide open. Watch the Buffalo defense, you don't ever see that.
Here's the thing.
Hard to get used to seeing that. And the Dolphins just had trouble covering Washington's receivers yesterday.
You think about it from Buffalo's perspective. The defense has got to show up every week. They've got to show up every week. You can't take a deep breath against a Dolphins offense that's struggling to score points. You've got to completely stymie the Miami Dolphins. If you do that, you're going to win the game. The Bills offense is going to make enough plays. They're going to score enough points. but this is a Dolphin defense that can, you know, you have a couple of bad plays offensively against them. You turn it over at the wrong time, and all of a sudden you're in a dogfight, and you end up losing the game. The defense has got to completely stymie their offense, and the offense can't turn it over. I mean, that's about all, that's the recipe right there.
Right now.
And that doesn't seem undoable.
Yep.
Your sights come and focus squarely on Josh Allen and keeping in the pocket, throwing it away, punting it away if you need to. And, you know, let's see the next series. You know, I mean, that's what you got to get him to do. Now, this is also the Dolphins team that Josh Allen threw for three week 17 last year, threw for three touchdowns, ran for two touchdowns, and they hung 42 points on this team in Buffalo. I'd love to see that again.
Call here from Joe in Rochester. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment that you guys keep saying the receiving group isn't good enough. And
who said that?
Well, you're saying that we need another piece and John Brown isn't a real one receiver. I think John.
I didn't say that.
No. You may be hearing it around, but you didn't hear that from us.
Well, it seems like most fans keep saying that.
There you go. Oh,
okay.
Okay, go ahead.
This group isn't good enough, but I feel like, I mean, John Brown's been open a lot deep, and Allen hasn't hit one deep throw. Isn't it weird that when Barkley came in, the first deep throw he attempts, he hits it? I mean, that means John Brown's getting open.
I think John Brown's had some decent separation. I don't know if it's consistently good, but I agree with you. They need a deep pass component to their offense. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah,
I'm not ready to change quarterbacks.
And
is
I'm
that
with
what
you.
You're suggesting, Joe?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying change quarterback. I'm just saying Allen has to. He has all this talent, but he's got to get better at hitting the deep throws. Like, where did it go? He had it last year, and now it's gone, it seems like.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think there's one reason why they're not hitting deep passes in game to game or overall for the regular season. They've attempted some. They haven't hooked up on many of them. Most of their big plays in the passing game have been short passes and long runs. But I wouldn't put all those on the receivers. I wouldn't put all of them on the quarterback. I wouldn't put all of them on the offensive line and lack of protection. None of that stuff. There's different reasons for all of it. They've got to do a better job and be more consistent. I think that if you're going to look for one thing to criticize the Bills' offense or on – I think it's inconsistency. I think that's what leads to turnovers. I think that's what leads to no deep balls. I think that's what leads to inconsistent scoring, struggling to score the football. I think it's inconsistent. And I think that the more consistent they get in their offense, the better it's going to be. But right now, I think they're up and down everywhere, not just at the wide receiver, the quarterback, offensive line, running game.
Bills were on the field today here in Orchard Park for a brief kind of a walkthrough T-shirts and shorts practice, their first day back after 6 days off with a bye. It did not appear that linebacker Matt Milano was among those practicing today. He's got the hamstring from the game, left the game early in Tennessee 8 days ago. And after practice, defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier was asked about his plans if Matt Milano cannot play this week against Miami. Here's what Leslie Frazier said.
Well, it really becomes next man up. I mean, you know, we're all hoping that he can make it back for this next ball game. But it also means guys like Maurice Alexander, hopefully Corey Thompson will be back in the mix. Those guys will get a chance. Of course, it may increase Lorenzo Alexander's reps as well. But, I mean, that will be the mindset, next man up.
And that's what they say, and that's what they mean. Two things about this, though, Steve. First of all, Milano's performance, I think, has been underrated. Did we do it last week? I think we had a Twitter poll, the most valuable player on the defense right. So far. And I don't think we put Milano up as a – did we put him up as an option?
He was not one of them.
But afterwards, I thought we should have Milano. He's been great. He's been really solid. They would miss him if he's not in the lineup. Secondly, do you worry about depth at linebacker for the Bills? I know we talked about it in training camp a little bit. Maurice Alexander, yes. Corey Thompson's been out. Yes, I get it. Maybe more reps for Lorenzo Alexander. But it's not the deepest spot on the roster, that's for sure.
No, and I think it's a little bit of it's by design. I think they have six guys active on any given Sunday. And,
right.
And the back three guys, one of those three may get significant reps. The other two are special teams guys and backups. And if somebody goes down, they can certainly step in. But you're right. I think they use a linebacking core. In Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier's defensive scheme, I think Tremaine Edmonds, Milano, those are three down linebackers. Lorenzo Alexander moves up into the line, almost puts his hand on the ground once in a while. He becomes a pass rusher. And he, you know, they bring a DB in for him and take out a defensive lineman. So Lorenzo Alexander may be on the field, but he's not playing linebacker anymore. Right. So, you know, I don't think they use a ton of linebackers in their scheme, particularly when they got guys like Milano and Edmonds who can stay on the field for all three downs of the defensive series. So I think it's been a plus for them. I don't know if they'll be able to continue that if Milano's not in there. Maybe, you know, they do have to put a guy in for first and second down, take a guy out, depending on the personnel the offense has got on the field as well. They may start to platoon linebackers, and then – yeah, then your depth is going to be tested.
Right. Interesting. Also, and we talked a little bit about it with Gary Gramling, the huge game that Jordan Phillips had against Tennessee. Leslie Frazier talked about that today. The Bills' defense coordinator after today's practice was asked about Jordan Phillips and his performance of the first third of the season so far. Here's what Leslie Frazier said.
It's great to see Jordan come out and play like he played against Tennessee, and he's been pretty consistent for us throughout the season. You know, even going back to when we acquired him, when you use the word dynamic, I smiled in my heart because he sees himself as a dynamic player, and I'm always giving him a hard time about, you know, that part of things. And but it was big for us the way he played against the Titans. We're going to need that going forward. He's one of those guys who has a ton of ability. If he can consistently give us what we saw in that ball game, it'll be really good for our defense. Anytime your interior lineman can dominate the way he did, it just makes the rest of the defense that much better.
Good points. I don't know if they can count on three sacks a game from Jordan Phillips, but if you get consistent pass rush from him and Ed Oliver, Frazier's right. It'd go a long way towards making this really good, solid defense even better.
Yeah, there's always been this thought in football, and it comes back all the way to the 70s and 80s when pressure means everything. Because back then, you had guys standing back like Dan Fouts. I mean, he wasn't going to run anywhere, you know. And guys, even current quarterbacks like that, Tom Brady's not going to run anywhere. Phillip Rivers isn't going to run anywhere. Ben Roethlisberger kind of stopped doing that. But now in the league, it's not just about the pressure will go in there. Now you got Deshaun Watson back there or Kyler Murray or Josh Allen or some of these quarterbacks that will bust out and run down the field. So it's a little differently. The pressure has become more as a bonus because now teams are all about covering them up. They're throwing DBs out there. They're getting their confusing coverages. They're doing that kind of thing. And I think – and we've been having this great debate this entire offseason about what's better, pressure or coverage. Pressure is great when you've got it. And the guy can't get away. It's as good as it was back in the 70s and 80s, man. When it works great. But you got these athletes back there that sometimes you get them out of the pocket and you're worse. It works against you. So I get it. If you've got a quarterback that can't run too good, yeah, pressure's, I think, what you want. You want to get it right in his lap all the time, but that doesn't always work depending on who you're playing.
You know what I like about the Buffalo defense, among many other things? The understated kind of approach that Leslie Frazier has. I'm watching games yesterday, and who's the coordinator? I can't remember what team. Bald-headed guy, wearing a T-shirt, big guy. He's just dancing around and slapping players on the back. I forget. He's a relatively new defensive coordinator in the league. And good, your guys are playing well. But I like the way Frazier, it's almost like it's expected we'll be this good. It's expected we'll force a lot of three and outs. It's expected that we'll get pass rush pressure and good coverage. You know what I mean? I think this team responds to that. And that's a benefit of having him here for 3 years, by the way. He's not making his mark. He's not trying to put new things in place here. Do what
I
we
agree.
Did last year, the week
and,
before that.
And plus, any adjustments they make, this ain't the first time they've made that.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to remember this, remember the play, you know, last year, first half of the season when we did this against the Jets. Oh, yeah, okay, now run that again. And this time, instead of, you know, Robbie Anderson of the Jets, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the guy from the Titans, you know, that kind of thing. So you can go back and the players on the field have a depth of knowledge about, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I remember I made this mistake. I'm not going to do that again. That kind of thing. It goes deep.
Yeah.
Guys recall these plays that they've made and how it went and how they played and what they were expected to do. And they remember the film study afterwards where they either got ripped or they got praised. So that, you know, going forward in a – when you get an established defensive coordinator with guys who've been in the system, that's what you get out of it. That's the hidden benefits when you go back and make these adjustments that they do in game, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I see where it's
and
going.
And it's big.
We had Levi Wallace on the show with us first half hour of the show, Bill's Corner, opposite Tre'Davious White. Talked about what he's done so far this year. And Leslie Frazier was talking about him as well, the Bills defensive coordinator, on what Levi Wallace has brought to his defense this season.
Levi has really solidified a position that up until he became a starter for us was really in flux. I mean, it was, you know, it was every week it seemed like we were trying someone different at the right corner spot. So he's solidified that spot for us, which has also helped our defense. He's really an unsung hero in a lot of ways. He gives us a chance to be more flexible defensively and not having to always match up Tre'Davious to the best receiver. Just helps our entire defense. So we're really pleased with his progress and what he's given us on defense.
There you go, Leslie Frazier on Levi Wallace. He's right, you know. There was a time last year, the Bills, early first half of the season, before Wallace got here, the Bills were starting guys just off their practice squad. Never started before early in the season. Yeah, this time of the year it was, early October.
It was dark times last year early in the season, right? They were giving up 42, 49 points a game and couldn't score, and they, you know, their offensive line couldn't open up any holes. They couldn't protect the quarterback. They're on their fourth starting quarterback. It was a rough season last year, not because they didn't have players or didn't have, you know, talent, but man, the injuries got them at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, and they got caught even in the offseason by it.
Taking a break here. One Bills Live returns. We're presented by Kaleida Health. We're live from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. What We Learned is brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, we're wrapping early today. We had Levi Wallace on the show, Bills cornerback, talking about the vibe of this defense changes as this team gets better. Here's what Levi Wallace said.
I think specifically on defense, you know, we just have to stay, you know, hungry as we've been, you know, and not let games, you know, come down, you know, just to us, you know, try to make more takeaways, give the offense more opportunities, you know, limit even less, you know, that we've been doing. You know, I think we know in our hearts that we're a pretty good defense, but I don't think we're satisfied with that at all. You know, I think we want to be number one in every category, you know, even being specific with Dennis, you know, just the job that he does with giving us numbers. You know, just how we can move forward from that aspect.
Levi Wallace with some goals for the Buffalo defense. Gary Grambling joined us from Sports Illustrated a moment ago, and we asked him for his takeaway of the 4-1 Buffalo Bills.
I mean, look, in short, it is certainly the best team they've had in the Sean McDermott era here, which is, I think they're so much better than they were in 2017. I think they're equipped to play from behind if they have to play from behind. But, I mean, this defense is dominant. You know, and it's not just, you know, Ed Oliver and Trent Murphy. That's all well and good. Jordan Phillips, I mean, they got a real find in Jordan Phillips here in the middle of that line. They're dominant. You see what Tremaine Edmonds is becoming, and there's no reason they shouldn't be talking playoffs at this point.
Okay, we're talking playoffs, Steve. Hey, we're breaking early today, an hour early. Sabres hockey coming up, Sabres in Dallas. But, yeah, we talk playoffs all the time here, don't we?
Yes, we do now.
Yeah.
4-1 we do.
Tomorrow we're on noon to 3. No interruptions tomorrow. Kyle Brandt will join us from NFL Network. We always look forward to that. One of the highlights of the week, right?
Yeah. He's bringing the energy.
Kyle Brandt tomorrow with us at 1 o'clock. Make sure you join us then. Want to thank our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Chirito. Kevin Cargis is here. James Robel is here. They're both here today. Thanks to them for showing up. And our producer is Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.